You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to the second hour of Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and we'll just kind of continue to monitor some scores here at the NCAA tournament. You didn't spill out a bracket, but one of the other upsets I picked was Murray State versus over Marquette. Murray State has a 2-point lead early in the game. But, you know, hey, it's like, you know, when you start a race, that's all it is. It's just like, it's the beginning of the race.
What motivated you to choose that as an upset?
They have one of the best players in the country, Murray State does. He might be in the top five picks. I forget his name. A guard who can do a lot of different things, score, shoot from the perimeter. Assists. He does a lot of very athletic, kind of a guy who grew up in Kentucky, no, North Carolina, and kind of was overlooked from recruiters and then ended up there.
So when he's hot,
he's
they tend
really
to
good,
blow
yeah.
people away.
Yeah,
the whole
yeah.
team does well.
And I think that Marquette is one of those teams that could be vulnerable. But what do I know? I had Minnesota losing to Louisville. You know, the funny thing is, I told you this yesterday, the day before, that there are no such things as experts in this. If you watch the TV and you watch like CBS or TNT and all that, oh, yeah, this is that. They don't know. Because if you see their bracket, it's already blown up by now. It's already blown up.
Well, that happens almost every year, though, right?
Hey, oh, yeah, every year. Every year. If you're a good guy who picks the chalk, and by the chalk I mean the favorites, good luck with that because it doesn't always happen. It rarely happens, in fact. That's what makes this whole thing so great because these small schools from nowhere come out and beat the big guys, and everybody, like you said, everyone loves an underdog.
Yeah.
And it lasts, but that euphoria lasts for maybe a game or two, if that. Last year, if you remember, did you watch last year?
Some.
The team from Chicago, the with the nun, the team that had the nun kind of, they upset Virginia. I think that was the team that beat Virginia. And then they went deep into the tournament and became the darlings of the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
There are two of them. There are two big, Buffalo was one. Yeah. They beat Arizona.
The team
from Chicago.
But they didn't
get to the final four.
Yeah, they lost at a game or two out.
Yeah. It's tough to sustain that type of high, but you can if you can pick off some teams early in the first couple rounds, you're pretty good. Because they're good. All the teams in here are very good. Except that they never really had a chance to play the big boys. So. And when you play the big boys, you get that one shot, baby.
We need a nun. That's what you
we
saying.
Need a nun, yeah. I need a lot of nuns. Could you pray for me, please? Any nuns out there listening, please pray for me.
Yeah.
I need some kind of advantage.
They got the radio cranked over at our mother of underinflated balls convent.
Yeah, could you please, you said that I didn't. That pray for Mr. Rivera. Should I say this in there? Someone sent an email to me saying that my promo was messed up. Rivers to Rivera. Rivers is my stage name, along with Geraldo Rivers.
Oh, well, that's why. No,
I've never heard that.
Not the ones that I've played today. They don't say Rivers.
So that's the first time I've ever heard that. Someone's ever said to me, "Are you Steve Rivers?" What's my identity? That's my secret identity.
Gotcha. I wonder if it's maybe something that Chris did saying, and we'll be talking to famous Steve Rivers tomorrow on the show to be funny.
Yeah.
Which
right.
he does sometimes.
Yeah. Is he funny? Yeah, Chris is funny. I do make him laugh on Tuesday mornings. He wakes me up early, so I have to be funny.
Yeah, are you half awake? Is that why?
Yes, very much so. Ed calls me, "Are you awake?" Yeah, I'm awake.
No, you are.
Yeah.
You are? I think you're funnier in the morning than you are by the time you get in here, I noticed. You were very funny the morning I listened.
Oh, did you? Okay,
I think I sent you as an alarm.
I'm either going to be very grumpy or very funny. There's no in between.
You get one or the other?
Yeah, you get one or the other.
That's it.
Yeah. So we'll monitor some NCAA scores. We're going to talk to Anthony Jimeno here in about 5 minutes, talk about UA hoops. We're going to talk about the tournament as we see it, maybe some women's basketball that's going on now, and anything else that's going on in the city or Southern Arizona. We contribute to allsportstucson.com, and we do as good a job as we can, given our other jobs that we have. We're like, got about 20 jobs between us.
So what are some of the stories that are on allsportstucson.com that somebody would find there?
Yeah. Good question. Well, we cover things remotely if we can't get to it, obviously. The women's team, I haven't talked about this, the women's Pima team lost yesterday. You remember we had Nakai, JJ Nakai on the radio, and she finished with 32 yesterday. She scored the all-time most points for Pima, and they lost yesterday. So they'll be playing for the consolation. I think they're going to be playing for third place sometime soon. The men, I think, play today. They're going to be playing for fifth place. At least that's my understanding. I was told third place, but it looks like it's going to be fifth place because they lost the first game of the tournament. I think they're playing right now or today.
Looks like you have a lot of...
It's a lot of high school stuff.
Yeah, a lot of prep stuff.
I think we do a very good job with that. The Morales brothers, Andy and Javier, do a great job with the local stuff, and they're keeping track of what goes on, people's achievements across the country. And
you're not the prep guy?
No, I'm not a prep guy. I'm U of A guy, if I can be, as much as I can be, given the state... I'm here a lot now prepping for a show that I kind of talk gibberish sometimes. Unfortunately, the Pima women's team, so they're done. Pretty much, in essence, they're done, at least in terms of trying to get to the finals of their respective tournaments.
And your listeners can also go to allsportstucson.com to hear some of your interviews or all of them.
In fact, some of them recently. We went to a different podcast about a month or so ago. How many? 2 weeks ago?
New system.
So I'm having a hard time downloading some of the interviews, but that's what my hope is, to do most of them. It depends how busy it is or whatever. Yesterday I put my interview with Corky Simpson on there. A lot of fun. I'm probably going to put yesterday's stuff with Ryan Hansen on today. I'll probably maybe put today's, depends how good it turns out to be. Maybe not.
It was a great interview with Mr. Hansen, by the way. That was...
Oh, Mr. Simpson? Mr. Hansen?
I was thinking
I thought so
first
too.
Hansen, then, of course, Corky. But, yeah, we'd already talked about that.
No, thank you. And I appreciate it, too. Because, Ryan's, yesterday we had him for a half hour going back and reminiscing about a lot of the fun that we had on the road. A lot of funny stories. I always like talking to Ryan because he tells these stories very well, and we kind of saw the same things during his time at U of A under Lute, and now he's one of the radio guys on another station.
Yeah, he does great color commentary and does it very well.
Right.
They seem to kind of have that
rapport.
Yin and yang. Yeah. Or
kind of like you.
Chit and chat. No, I just interrupt you, but no, he's good. He waits for Brian to stop talking, actually, which I don't do so well.
On that note, we'll wait for me to stop talking, and we'll go to a break here and talk to Anthony on the other side here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host, and now on the phone I have colleague Anthony Gemino on the phone. Anthony, thanks for joining me. Did I wake you up from a nap?
I wish.
Hey,
much hoops on. Come on.
Oh, yeah, of course. How could you sleep through it today? I had Corky on. Did you listen to that show?
I have not heard it yet.
No.
On my to-do list. I know you linked to it online, so I will. I'll find it at some point.
Yeah, you worked with Corky for about 2 or 3 years.
How long did I work at the Citizen Report Club? Well, I guess just a few years before he retired.
Yeah, right.
But obviously, you know, I'd been around him for 20 years before that.
Any favorite Corky stories while we were working together?
Probably nothing great. I remember, I think we might have been roommates
on the road
in Chicago when Arizona was playing in Rosemont in 2005, and everybody remembers the Arizona-Illinois game that year. We might have been roommates that year at the hotel. And I remember, like, all Corky would eat is soup. I'm like, Corky, let's go out and, you know, have this great lunch or whatever. You know, spend some of that Gannett money that they were going to take away from us years later anyways.
Right.
He's like, no, I'm just going to have this cup of soup. Like, okay, I'm going to go out and have a nice, big, fat dinner.
Right. No.
Whatever. Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Yeah, no.
Great guy. I mean, just
super guy.
And really, I think... And not just in sports, but I think really, however, whatever field, you know, columnist, news writer, whatever, however you want to call it, I mean, I think he's the best wordsmith that's been in town in the last 40 years.
Yeah, yeah. Very clever. I was going to tell him when we were talking here a couple of days ago that some of his best work was when he was upset. He would
I think that's kind of true for all of us, right?
That's probably true because the snarky comes out.
Yeah, I mean, I think really, because especially Corky with his way for words could just cut you 1,000 different ways.
Yes, you know? Yes.
And do it with
so eloquence.
Such grace. That
yeah,
you're
eloquence.
Like, right. Got it. But yeah, I think my favorite, at least one of my favorite columns I wrote for The Citizen was after they lost to Purdue in the first round in, I guess, was it 07?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lose last game, 07.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a bad, unnecessary loss that it really brought out all the sarcasm in me. It's still one of my favorite columns because they deserved it. They deserved to be called out for a horrible effort and thinking they were so much better than they really were.
Right. No, that was the year. I think that was it McClellan and,
yeah,
and Chase and those guys?
Yeah, and it was Juwan. I mean, I still
he called them
don't
out.
Remember the exact quote, but yeah, he was calling them out in the locker room and saying, he kind of pointed in the general direction of like the Purdue locker room and said, that's the team Lute would love to coach.
Yeah.
Because they were those gritty underdog overachievers, hustle, dive on the court for every loose ball kind of team. And Arizona, till the end, was the, we're better than they are. I can't
right.
believe we lost to you. It's like, no, you got exactly what you deserved.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I was that was Marcus Williams last year, too, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yeah
exactly, yeah.
I was talking to, I am talking to Bob and talking how one of the unhidden things or hidden things that we deal with is that that confidence where, like Arizona did sometimes, went in overconfident and got beat by an underdog. And that game specifically speaks to that, where Arizona thought, okay, we're better, we don't have to worry about it, or we don't have to play as hard as you think we do, and they get beat.
Yeah, that was exactly the attitude. I can't remember who it was, but I do remember quoting someone saying, you know, in the Arizona locker room after the game, like, yeah, we're the better team. Like, no, you're not.
No, you're not. You're right.
You know, let's check the scoreboard on that. But that was kind of one of their toxic years. And
yeah.
Well, Marcus Williams was kind of a part of that because, you know, Marcus Williams thought he was better than he was.
Right. Right. No, he definitely was. He was ready for the league, and he was never ready for the league and didn't stay long in the league. That was that year, and then the KO year. Let's talk a little about the NCAA because we went to a mm-hmm. few of them. The year after, was it KO maybe?
Yeah.
And they went to, they got a kind of a break in the first round, Utah, and then Cleveland State beat Wake Forest.
No. That's the Russ Pennell year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right.
The KO year was they didn't think they were going to get into the field. They were just hoping to extend their NCAA tournament streak, and they really were a bit of a surprise. They were like one of the – and what made it worse was as CBS is announcing the bracket and Arizona's still wondering if it's an at-large team, they were like shown in the last four teams,
yeah. mm-hmm.
you know, in the bracket. So there was some drama there, and then they went and played West Virginia.
Yeah.
And I swear, you know, right until – maybe halfway through the first half, I still thought Arizona was good enough to make a run. And that, I mean, because they had Bayless, they had Buttinger, they had Hill. So you had three pros, and I thought if they could just put it together,
right.
flip the switch,
right.
they were good enough because they were going to get Duke in the second round. I thought that was a great inspiration to beat West Virginia and to play Duke.
Yeah.
Arizona always wants to play Duke.
Right.
And but West Virginia just kind of
took control,
choked the life out of them.
Yeah,
which
took
is
control.
What West Virginia can, good West Virginia Bob Huggins teams can do. And as it turns out, that year Arizona was just kind of ready for them to. Arizona was just ready for the season to be over.
No question.
They weren't ready to make a run, but I thought they could, like until the very end.
Yeah, I think that was
the
whole
then,
year.
You're right. The next year.
Go ahead.
They weren't very good either. That's a lot of the same personnel, but they got lucky with a great draw and got to the Sweet 16.
And then Miami.
And then that game was over with about 2 minutes when they were playing Louisville.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. No, and that was the KO year when the New York Times guy, I think it's Pete Thamel, is that right? Wrote that KO didn't even talk to his assistants, who at the time were Miles and Josh.
Well, I mean, but we all knew that.
We had
kind of written that as part of other stories during the year. But, you know, you get to the NCAA and the national media jumps on board, and he wrote it like breaking news. KO doesn't talk to his assistants on the bench. Like, would you?
I mean, what is he going to talk to?
Plus, a lot of head coaches are like that.
Yeah.
You know, they just want that one voice. They don't want a lot of people yakking during the games. But.
And remember, who are you talking about? KO. Who does KO talk to at all?
Bartender, maybe.
Yeah. That was funny. When that came out, I'm thinking, what kind of news is that? You know, he doesn't talk to very many people. He's surely not going to ask Miles and Josh what their thoughts are on a 2-3 zone.
Yeah, can you imagine during a timeout, KO turning, what do you think, Josh? What set should we run on this next possession?
Right. Yeah, I found it kind of odd. What other tournament games do you remember most?
Wow.
You were probably at the Star at the time.
Yeah, I was at the Star, so I didn't actually go. I mean, I was at 98 when they lost to Utah.
Well, that was a disaster.
That was because they were down at halftime in that game, but kind of the same deal. You didn't really expect them to lose, even though they were down at halftime, and then Utah pulled away. That still, you just shake your head and wonder about how that went down and why that went down. And I went to the Final Four in 94 in Charlotte, but didn't get to go to the game. So that was always fun. Me and one of the news side guys ended up covering the game from downtown, where they projected the game onto the side of a building, and you know, we did like the fan piece. But I was supposed to get into the game, but then
credential
issue with the tickets and the credentials, and I couldn't get in. Then they lost to Arkansas, so didn't get to cover a championship game, and I was not covering the team on site in 97 when they won it all.
Yeah, and
I was writing the headlines for the Star that year, so if anybody has commemorative copies, I might have written some of those headlines.
Yeah, that was the year Tucson almost burned down.
Yeah, I was safely in the
newsroom,
Star Citizen buildings. Yeah,
and hunker down. Hey, does it feel kind of weird to you that we're here talking about the tournament when there's no word at all about Arizona in the tournament?
That is a little weird. It's kind of nice in a way. Or you can just kind of sit back and not
enjoy it.
And kind of see all the games, get to follow all the games you want to follow. Especially if when you're in the first round and say Arizona's in that Friday game.
Yeah.
Thursday, you're doing interviews all day with the press conferences and then writing stories. And you don't get to see anything that goes on all day Thursday, pretty much, which always kind of sucks because those first Thursday and Friday are such great days. And we saw it this morning with your Aggies.
Man, how was that?
I don't know how they lost that either. Game to Auburn.
I don't because I had them picked too. That was my only game that I had them winning. But I was listening on the way here in my car, and I'm thinking, there's no way. And then they had a chance, and then the best scorer is at the line with a couple of seconds left with three shots, and he misses them.
I mean, they had like three chances in the final several seconds. I don't know if you didn't get to see it because they Auburn guy makes a free throw with 6 seconds left to make it a 2-point game.
Mm-hmm.
And then A.J. Harris gets the ball on the inbounds pass, and he's driving. He's speeds down court. He's open, driving the lane for a layup to tie the game, and he whips the pass back out to the top of the – beyond the 3-point arc where the guy gets fouled. He could have easily
scored.
Tied the game. It was like one of those Justin Coleman passes we saw this year where he's in the middle of the lane, then he whips it out with his left hand to a three-point shooter. It was like that, except he could have tied the game with a layup.
Wow.
And then the kid misses two or three. Ball goes out of bounds to the Aggies with 1.1 seconds left, and they get a great look from the corner. They get a great look from a three in the corner, and the guy airballs.
Airballs it. Do you believe?
Had a lot of chances. They're a good team.
Do you believe in destiny?
Kinda. I've seen it.
They're probably destined not to win that game.
That's probably true.
I believe it.
I guess we'll see them. We'll see them in McHale next year. I don't know who they have coming back, but.
No, they're a good team. Their coach is a very good coach. He just has a history of not being a smart coach off the court, but a very good coach.
Yeah, they were. They mixed up their defenses, and like I don't know who exactly they have coming back, but I was thinking during the game that this was exactly a team that Arizona wouldn't want to see.
Oh, yeah.
Because they caused a lot of problems when they turned up the heat defensively late in the game, and they're active, and they got a lot of energy, and they shoot a lot of threes. I'm like, that's a team Arizona doesn't like to play.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll be fine. It's not a great non-conference schedule again next year, but you know, New Mexico State will be one of those sneaky good teams that comes into McHale.
Right, right. Let's go, let's take a break here and come back on the other side. Talk more about some NCAA games that are memorable between us and maybe that you've seen in the past. Here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back here to Eye on the Ball. We're talking with Anthony Jimeno of AllSportsTucson.com here on 1030 The Voice. Tell me, what was your first NCAA tournament you went to? Tournament game you went to?
Who that I went to? Probably in, when was that year? Was it 86?
UTEP?
Where Arizona like actually hosted a first round game?
UTEP 86.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah, wow. That would have been my first one.
You were two? How old were you?
What's the earliest? I was a student. What's the first title game you remember?
Title game? What do you mean, for the NCAAs?
Yeah.
Title game? Well, it was, I remember 88, obviously, very well. But I was there. I wasn't there. I wasn't covering the team, then I was covering football. So, 94, I was there at the Final Four there.
No, I mean, what's the first NCAA game you remember at all?
Okay. The first one I really know vividly, because I was there in 90 for Seton Hall, Arizona. Khalid had gotten hurt. I think he had hurt a thumb, broken a thumb or something. Yeah. And they lost to Seton
Hall. What I'm asking is, like, whether you're when you're a kid, what as just a fan.
Okay. That case, it was Larry Bird and Magic Johnson in 79.
Me too. Yeah,
in 80, Lute was in the Final Four with Iowa and UCLA and them, and that's where I got my introduction of This Is It, because it used to be the song for One Shining Moment. That's how I remember it, at least.
Yeah, before One Shining Moment became One Shining Moment.
Right. So that's, you know, more than 40 years ago, almost 40 years ago.
Yeah, that's the first one. 79, Bird Magic, I remember that. Probably the first one. I vaguely remember, and I must have been like five, when I remember being in the room when Notre Dame ended UCLA's long winning streak.
Yeah,
like
me too.
My dad was watching that game, and I was probably in the living room or the family room playing with trucks or something, but I remember that game being on and knowing that my dad knew it was a big deal.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's like one of my very first memories of like sports.
Yeah, that was like 75-ish, wasn't it? Something like that?
I want to say 74.
Okay, 75, 74. I do remember that too, because it was a big game. The Notre Dame game too, when they stopped the record or whatever that was. What about your fun? You remember, I think we were in, I don't know, now I don't remember where we were, when we thought the Citizen was closing, we had just left, I think they either won or lost, I can't remember, and we kissed the center of the court, saying goodbye to college basketball for good. You remember that?
Did we actually kiss the court?
Oh, we did a T.J. McConnell or a Josh Pastner.
That would have been the Louisville year, so that would have been the Russ Pennell 2009, because I remember, because we knew... we knew the paper was closing at that point. It was just a matter of months. And they only sent, I don't know if they sent, I think they just sent you to the first and second rounds. And they won.
Right.
And then the bosses decided, well, hell, let's send Anthony too. It's not our money anymore.
Right.
So that's why I flew out to Indianapolis and then was able to hang out with you and the Rich Page and the Arizona crew for a night. And like I said, Two minutes into that game, you're like, I guess that was not money well spent because no. You knew that was going to be a blowout.
Yeah, but it didn't and matter it because it wasn't anybody's money at that point.
Yeah, the only thing that was interesting was if, it wasn't our money. Let's go spend some of that money. The big deal was, hey, was Patino going to wear his white suit for that game or not?
Oh, yeah. I remember Russ Pennell being
he was on a roll there that year.
Yeah, I remember Russ Pennell just being totally upset with him, and he said, I lost a ton of respect for Patino because he ran up the score on them. It was not even a close game. It was, wreck.
It was
bad.
It was impossible, I think, not to run up the score that day. But...
So
I think I stopped watching early. So.
Did you pick
start writing my story?
Did you pick a bracket this year?
I did. Yeah.
And who's the winner?
I have Gonzaga winning it all.
Wow.
I just think they're a well constructed team. I mean, They're what do you want? I mean, obviously Duke is the most talented team. I get that. If anybody, that's. If somebody wants to pick Duke, great. So I'm just looking for something a little bit different. But they've got NBA talent. They've got experience. They have guard play. They can defend the rim with Brandon Clark. They shoot the three well. I mean, they're just – they kind of have all the pieces you want. I don't know if there's a particular weakness. Everybody's going to point to their schedule, of course, but – that didn't stop them a couple years ago when they got all the way to the title game, and they were close enough to win that if things were a little bit different in the final couple minutes. So I just like the way they're built. They can play fast. They can play slow. They can play inside. They can play outside. I think they're a little bit bulletproof in that regard, but, they'll probably lose in about 3 hours, so we'll see. Who do you got?
Well, I have the obvious. I went with Duke.
You have Duke, which is fine. Yeah, get that.
Yeah, I bet him a while back, maybe 2-3 weeks ago. I thought I would get better odds. Williamson's was out. But I didn't. They're the favorite. But you know what team that I really like, and this is an obvious, another one, is North Carolina. They've played them tough for three games. They beat them twice. I think they eventually get to the Final Four as well. I do like...
I don't disagree.
Yeah, I think I had Michigan beating Gonzaga. I couldn't tell you why, but I like their coach. I really do like their coach. I think he's a very good coach.
Gonzaga's?
Michigan's.
They're one of those teams that usually does quite well in the tournament.
Let me...
Did Belmont just lose? Belmont, I think, just lost to Maryland.
Yeah, I think I had them. They were winning a lot of the game.
Yeah, they lost by two. I had them winning.
Oh, me too. They lost 79-77. That's not good. Wow.
Yeah, one of the upset, I do kind of like UC Irvine.
Me too. I went with a lot of the upsets.
Even though K-State's, their best player, or one of their best players, Dean Wade, not playing or doubtful.
Yeah.
But I still like Irvine. I guess, I know late in the year, I think he might have been suspended, but John Edgar's kid still plays for UC Irvine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because he was in McHale a couple years ago when they're here, I guess 2 seasons ago now.
Okay.
But I think he was suspended late, so I don't know if he's playing in the NCAAs or not. I'll have to look for that, but nice. Be nice to have a Arizona connection.
Yeah. My only other big upset today was Murray State, and they're winning, which means nothing right now. So let me ask you, because we have about 4 or 5 minutes left in this segment. Do you think, no matter what happens in with the basketball program, that Arizona eventually will make another big run here at the tournament in the next 3-4 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could happen as soon as next year. I mean, it could.
Yeah, no, it
assuming,
could. It
could. Assuming nothing...
comes up whatever.
Yeah, nothing comes up, and John Miller's coaching, and that kind of thing, and there's still quite a lot to be determined in terms of
roster.
Who exactly is coming back.
Yeah,
I don't know who you think might be going, but I think Brandon Randolph needs to probably find somewhere else to play for both sakes.
For both sakes, probably.
Dylan, maybe Dylan. Same with Dylan Smith. I think Dutrieve might have a decision to make. He might be more 50-50. So we'll see if they're what their depth ends up looking like on the wings and stuff like that. But that could be a really good team. I don't think it takes – somebody was telling me, well, if Sean Miller leaves, it's going to set the program back 5 years. I'm like, no, because when he took over 2 years later, I mean, the program was as down as it had been, and everybody was no talent left on the squad, and nobody in the recruiting class. And 2 years later, he's a shot away from the Final Four.
Yep.
So I think in hoops, it basically takes, if your roster is decimated, it takes 2 years. If you do it right, you're right back there.
Yeah, no question. Well, Louisville had that chance. Look at Louisville. They got to the big dance. They played very well. You can tell that Mac is a very good coach. Mm-hmm. And then look at Villanova. They lost a lot, and now they're back and still doing well. I think it can be done. My only question for next year is the youth of the team. Everybody has high hopes on the recruiting class. I've seen a number of recruiting classes ranked very high, and last I checked, it hasn't really turned into anything.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So that's why you don't want to go into a year just relying on,
right,
hey, we've got four freshmen in the starting lineup. Good for us.
Yeah.
That's great. They may have been great high school players. So I think it's important if, you know,
Jeter.
You certainly expect Ira Lee to come back, but Chase Jeter was the guy I was thinking of. It's certainly important that Chase Jeter comes back as a fifth-year senior and kind of leads that group. Brandon Williams is going to have a big role as a sophomore. I think he's going to be kind of looked at as a senior himself.
Right.
And maybe you throw Ira Lee in the mix. And I kind of think if guys like Randolph and Dutrieve, we'll see Barcelo. I think Barcelo's going to stick around.
Do you?
He's a depth piece, maybe.
Wow, I thought he would be
gone.
We'll see.
Yeah. I think it depends on maybe we'll have to see how the dominoes fall.
Yeah.
I think Dylan Smith, actually, in a weird way, could be a pretty valuable 15-minute-a-game guy next year.
Yeah.
I think Sean trusts them, and him and, you know, if you put Mannion and Josh Green and Brandon Williams as your starting, you know, three perimeter guys, you know, that's just great. That takes up 80 to 90 minutes, but you still got 30 to 40 minutes left. So how's that going to get split up? Terry Armstrong, another freshman coming in, he might gobble up some of that. But I think there's room for like one of those guys, whether it's Smith, Dutrieve, Barcelo, to kind of be the fifth guy in the rotation, fourth or fifth guy in the perimeter rotation. And that's a pretty valuable spot. That certainly puts you in the top eight or nine.
Yeah. Well, there's still a lot to learn here in the next few weeks. Before the actual trial starts here in late April.
Yeah.
So we'll find out. We'll find out. And as we always say, or you always say, is we'll know when we know.
Yeah, we'll see. April 22nd is the trial day, right? We'll see if it happens.
That's true. Something
you know,
could
there's
change.
Always a chance that that thing gets settled, you know, as late as that morning. So you just never know.
Right. Okay, Anthony, thanks a bunch.
Hi, man.
Good luck with Gonzaga.
Good luck with your bold Duke pick.
Yes, I go with chalk most of the time. Thanks. All right, we'll see you soon.
All right, thanks.
Bye. That was Anthony Jamino of AllSportsTucson.com. We'll take a break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and we have about 10 minutes left on this show here on Thursday. After this, I'm going to go run to a TV and watch the rest of the day in the games. But I didn't get to see the end of the New Mexico State game in Auburn, but now that even breaks my heart even more because they had a chance to win it. The guy instead kicks it out for a three-pointer and gets fouled, and then he misses two of three free throws. Man, that would have been huge for the Aggies and the program, although they played well. And I'm kind of waxing poetic on my former school. I'm doing that because I never do. But let's go to the phone line and talk to Scott. Scott, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Fine, thank you. I talked to you more than I talked to my mom. I think you're going to be invited to Thanksgiving dinner with me.
Ooh, can't wait. Bring the gravy?
Yeah, you'll have to bring something. Mashed potatoes or something. What's going on today?
Okay. I just wanted to touch base with you guys. You guys were talking about how Sean Miller had a really quick turnaround for U of A. And I agree, he did turn it around pretty quickly. But really, if you're going to give credit, it would be Tim Floyd should get the credit for it because he was offered the U of A job, turned it down, and then later resigned from USC because of the O.J. Mayo situation. And then pretty much he was gifting Sean Miller the recruiting class of Derek Williams, Momo Jones, and Solomon Hill. So I think Tim Foy is the real MVP.
Well, you are correct in your information. I won't go as far as that, but I get your point. Your point is well taken. That first year was thankfully because of the USC debacle and Tim Foy leaving and Arizona benefiting from one, Williams, of course, and then and the rest of them. You mentioned Momo Jones and Solomon Hill. There was a fourth one, I think. I can't remember his name. I could be wrong. There could have been a fourth guy in that mix. But those three were obviously very, very pivotal. At some point, we're going to have to reevaluate. We'll talk to you more, obviously, in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Depends on what happens to Sean with the trial or doesn't happen with the trial. So this is a hypothetical, and I hate hypotheticals. I absolutely hate them. If everything turns out okay with Sean, you're going to have Sean as your coach for a long time. Are you okay with that, Scott?
It's unfortunate if that's the case. Obviously, every year is a new year, and hopefully next year is finally the breakthrough year for Sean Miller. It just the overall, it's beyond the win column. It's regardless of the March Madness. It's just about being a classy institution, and university has been tarnished by a lot of scandals, and just needed a fresh start, and just his antics on the sidelines, to players, to the media, to the community. I think we can do better. And I think Lute raised the bar, and I think Miller's lowering the bar.
Yeah, I won't agree with you or disagree with you. I know what you're saying, though, because there's a lot of people who feel opposite of you, a lot of people. I think you're in the minority when you talk about that. And I've said this publicly. I think that 75% of the fans, good and bad, are pulling for Sean. And then the other 25 have kind of had enough of what's
going
on.
Well, just to be clear, I'm not pulling for him to be not successful. I want him to be successful. I want U of A to be successful. That's been never not the case. It's just that it's been proven that he hasn't been successful in March. And then all the other sideline stuff with the FBI and coaches and then his own antics. And why would the Pac-12 refs have a bounty on Sean Miller in 2013 with Ed Rush? If Sean Miller's just such a great, classy guy that he's the one that they target for some reason.
Yeah. In fact, I brought that subject up to somebody maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago to get more clarity on that situation. And I thought I agreed with you. I agreed with what you just said for a long time. I think I've kind of backed off that feeling because I think that Rush maybe just threw his name out because it was the first one he thought of. But I do understand what you're saying because Sean has been a thorn on a lot of the refs' side for a number of years, especially early on in his career here because he was a new guy. So I kind of agree with you, but have kind of lessened my agreement with you, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from. I don't know if you guys, you said you were saying watching the ASU game yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, it looked like St. John's was trying to win, but they were just not as good. And ASU kept trying to give the game back to St. John's. It was like turnover to turnover toward the end. And it was just like the better of the worst teams won in that game. ASU had 21 turnovers. And if they played anyone else with any respect, they probably would have got demolished yesterday if they had that type of performance. But we'll see what happens in the next game. To be honest, I'm going against ASU because that's the way I believe in things. U of A and anyone else in the Pac-12 I'll go for, but ASU, kind of don't want them to be successful, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I have ASU losing tomorrow to Buffalo. I really think Buffalo is a pretty good team. They'll be able to handle ASU's athleticism, so Buffalo, I really have Buffalo going to the Sweet 16, so because I was really impressed with them last year. They had to play Kentucky, I think it was last year.
There's one thing now. It's Bobby Hurley definitely has more wins than Sean Miller the last 2 years in the tournament. So that's something that's on his belt, and he didn't need a number one draft pick or multiple NBA players to do it. I don't know when his freshmen might be able to make it to the NBA, but I know he didn't have the number one draft pick, and he has more wins in the last 2 years. So that's good for him and good for Arizona State.
Let me ask you, Scott. I don't know if I think I've asked you this before. Are you a grad of U of A? Are you a grad?
Uh, Unfortunately, I did attend, but some other opportunities sprung me out.
So were you kind of going to school when Sean was here or Luke was here?
Well, I grew up in Tucson, so when I was going to U of A, it was Sean Miller.
Oh, okay, okay. I just want to get kind of some clarity with your background into what you've seen. So I get it. I get it, and some of the points you make are very, very apparent, and I do appreciate you calling in because you call in often with the same argument. And we're hoping to get you in a conversation with Pancho soon.
Yeah, I look forward to it. And like I said, I hopefully he's successful and stuff. It just with all the clouds and everything and what other schools have been able to do, it's like maybe we can do better. And I think Tucson kind of holds himself to a lower standard sometimes. You know, there's that team in town that's there's the saying the underestimated city. Well, I think yeah. It's we underestimate ourselves with our head coaching.
Well, it's always I think a lot of people are lovers of the familiar, and they know what they have and they just don't want to lose it. And that's fine. It is what it is. I'm that same type of person where I kind of go with things maybe longer than I should, good or bad. And I'm not saying that's the case in this, but I understand how people are loyal to certain things longer than they should be. Scott, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Great, great. We have about 3 minutes left here in the afternoon of Thursday. I already kind of turned off my computer to see what the scores were, but I expect some big upsets today, tonight.
Any specific predictions?
Let me see here. Belmont lost. I think that Murray State is up. They're up at halftime. Okay. I hope they continue that streak because I picked them to win over Marquette. I think that could stay the course. I hope it does. I don't know if I picked any other ones. We'll talk about ASU tomorrow. Buffalo, I just said I think Buffalo will win that game. Florida State survived Vermont. Mm. Nevada faces one of the tougher teams. Florida, I think Nevada will win that. I don't know why.
What do you think about Anthony's Gonzaga choice?
It's a good one. It's, yeah. It's not a chic pick, but a chic pick. You know,
careful.
A popular pick. I'll go with a different word. Careful. Okay, go with a simple word. No, I like the pick. I wouldn't go there because I think their road to the Final Four is a little tough. Mm. They have to play Florida State. If Florida State survives the rest of the way, they won today because they're athletic. Florida State is Zaga's pretty good, but and I couldn't give you the rest of the but. So
no,
yeah,
okay,
it's okay. But you know, if Anthony thought highly of them, he should have put you know maybe $20 on them at probably about 15-1 to win it all.
And you still have Gonzaga. Virginia or
no?
Or
no,
Duke?
No. I have Duke. I have Duke.
Okay.
I have Duke, and the odds were bad. I just think that they're the best team. I do like Virginia only because I like the way Bennett coaches. But hey, how did it go last year, Mrs. Robinson?
Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah, that's a bad reference.
Oh, I was just okay. Saying,
yes, Virginia. There is a Santa Claus. One of those. I was trying to. Come
oh,
up with.
Okay.
I couldn't talk about Virginia saying, "Hey, Virginia, was there a Santa Claus?"
Roger that.
Yeah, see. Okay, so we're in the final minute. I think we'll come back tomorrow and talk more NCAA tournament. I'm hoping to get Reggie Geary on the show. He just became one of the administrators at U of A in the, I think, development office.
So,
yeah, nice little job there.
How about that?
Kind of talking to alums like him. So nice job. I hope he gets to come on the show.
Does he want to coach?
No. No, he doesn't want. He already said that, right? You're joking. Well, thanks for listening here on Thursday, here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Talk to you tomorrow.